Steve Gillis joins us right now from GS Sports Management, known to everyone all and sundry as Chimes. Why is that, Finchie? Do you know that?
Well, we'll ask the man himself. Stephen, how are you going, mate?
Hello, Finchie. Hello, Adam. Thanks for having me on the show, boys.
Mate, why do they? I remember you telling me your reason why they called you Chimes. Was it something when you were playing fullback back in the day and you'd chime into the back line?
100%.
And you'd say,
100% right, Finchie. I was 13 and I used to chime into the back line. I was that good. I got nicknamed Chimes and 12 months later, I was playing in the front row.
Now, Stevie, the world of rugby league's gone crazy, obviously. You know, you deal with some of the highest-profile players in our sport, and you've been around a long time. So you've been through the Super League period and the pay TV period where the salary cap, I think, at one stage was 3.25. Now it's close to 10. Have you seen it more crazier at the moment with the introduction of the Dolphins?
I think we're always going to see a spike in activity when a new team comes in. There's no doubt about it. I guess, you know, player stocks are going to be stretched. You know, we need to find 34 able-bodied, capable, you know, elite rugby league players to jump in there and represent the Dolphins. So it's going to stretch the market. There's no doubt about it. And obviously we had Canterbury with their major rebuild this year too, where they're signing off a lot of players. So, look, it's a bit of a one-off. I don't recall 12 months ago everyone saying, you know, this rule's a joke, or the year before, you know, this rule's a joke, or the year before that. So I think it's spiked. Obviously, there were a couple of instances there with Kikau and, of course, Brandon Smith, which caught the public's attention, which could have been handled a lot better. But whilst the system could do a tweaking, we can only work within the parameters of the rules, and everyone's doing that at the moment. So, look, I'm all for reviewing it. As Andrew Abdo says, let's have a look at it. Let's see if we can find a better system and refine it if we have to. And the agents will continue to work within the parameters of those rules.
Steve, I'm guessing there's never a bad time to be a very good player off contract, especially at a time like this when there's one extra vendor in the market, if you like, or one extra buyer in the market. What do you feel is the most valuable commodity when it comes to a player at the moment being on the market, be it, what is it, a front rower, a halfback, a hooker? Who is the most valuable thing out there that the clubs crave?
Yeah. Well, apart from, yeah, obviously the spine players are the most important players in the team, Adam. But apart from that, the fact is that, you know, the Dolphins, Redcliffe, need to sign a couple of marquee players. They have to sponsorship package. They have to secure memberships. They need bums on seats. So they've got to put together a team that the fans are going to at least have some hope for. So that's the key to it. So it's a struggle thus far. It was always going to be a struggle, but in the club's defence, they've been very patient. They're doing a good job. I'm sure they'll put together a squad eventually. It's just going to take a bit of time, and by taking it a little slower, I think they'll be more successful.
Now, Stevie, you were my manager from the age of 17. You were Fletcher's manager. So you've certainly dealt in crisis management. You're one of the best at it.
Haven't you doubled up
there?
Oh, wow.
Double dip there. It's a double whammy.
Two shoulder reconstruction, fellas.
Yeah. mate, run me through the cheese when you first heard his, you know, and you know my thoughts, obviously, being a Melbourne Storm former player, and you know my feelings about that club. Some of these things, we've seen players in different you know, team polo shirts, and they've still got 12 months to run. And we've seen the Cheese talk about thinking of winning a competition in another jumper when he's getting paid a lot of money still with 12 months to run. Do you think they need a better management in that direction? You know, boys, just remember, you're still getting paid hundreds of thousands by another club for the next 12 months.
Yeah, probably better education, Finchie. No doubt. You'd like to think that, you know, you'd like to think it wouldn't have happened on your watch. Having said that, look, the Kikau thing was unfortunate. It was a still taken off a video that, you know, it wasn't deliberate. So we'll give him an excuse for that one. Obviously, Brandon Smith, individuality's great, and people like the way he says what he thinks. But at the same time, you've got to have a stop button. You've got to be careful not to cross the line. I have no doubt in the world if he could do it again, he would do it different. But it comes down to education and common sense, and look, it's created a terrible lot of drama and bad publicity for the game. But hopefully we can live and learn from them. I'd like to think you're not going to see repeat performances of either of those types of misdemeanors in the future.
Yeah, what would you, if you were managing Chiefs, because I know you've given me a kick up a bum a few times, which is what is the strength of our relationship and your relationship with most players, that it's sort of more than just a manager type thing. You're like a big brother to say, no, pull your head in, you're wrong here. Would you say, Chiefs, come on, mate, let's get us, you know, our eyes back on the prize and get down to Melbourne and start training hard?
Yeah, for sure, mate. Look, you'd like to think it didn't happen in the first place. But yeah, look, he's got to get on with it again. He's apologised. He wears his heart on his sleeve. But again, it comes back to education, mate. What we prefer to do the vast majority of our negotiations in private. It's really that, you'll see us highlighting players in the media and showcasing players in order to get attention of other clubs. I'd much prefer to say less than more.
I won't get you to quote the worst club to deal with, because you still have to deal with them, so I don't want to put you in the poop for that. But the best club to deal with in terms of ease, and it's never a hassle, and things go smoothly, they just get it, they get the right people in the right positions, and it just makes it easier for you and, more importantly, the player to transition into a new environment.
Yeah, Adam, probably difficult to identify a particular club. The best clubs are the clubs that sit up the top of the ladder, mate, because their processes are good, their recruitment's good, they have good relationships with everyone. So generally, if you look at the ladder and where these teams are running, it gives you a fairly good indication of how their front office is.
Now, Steve, with some of your plays coming off now, with this, the craziness of the market, do you change up your plan, or have players come to you, clients come to you and said, Steve, can we test the market early, or will you test the market earlier than usual, with the Dolphins now in the mix?
Oh, mate, we've been in discussions with the Dolphins probably 12 months before they got in, talking about players and who was coming off for next season. So the planning probably started about 12 or 18 months ago. We met with all three of the bidders to give them an outline of who may be available. And look, we've had some good discussions with them about players. As I said, mate, it's going to take a bit of time. They're playing a patient game. I think the fans have to be patient, but I think they'll get it right. They've got some very good people in key positions at the club. And I think, it's very important that when they run out their round one the year after next, that they're competitive. And I've seen franchises in the past, for example, the West Tigers, who, when they merged, they spent an awful lot of money, wasted an awful lot of money, and it took them 10 years to recover. So I think hasten slowly, and I think they'll get there.
Hey, you mentioned earlier in the interview that the conversations continue with the NRL about what's the best practice in terms of, players signing in November for over a year before they actually join the club, and they've got to go through another season with their current club. Always when this comes up is, let's have a transfer window, or the possibility of having a transfer window or a signing window, be it mid-season, pre-season. Would that ever work?
I think it's got some merit, Adam. I'm not sure exactly how it would work. I don't think we'll ever see a draft again in rugby league. It's been defeated in court. I don't expect it will re-emerge. But transfer window, I think, has some merit. One of the problems is, who gets to put the player in the transfer window? Is it the club itself, or does the player have to agree to go in it? And can a player who's not off contract say, well, hang on a second, I'm not happy, I'd like to jump in the transfer window myself? And there'd be some great conjecture there amongst clubs and players. I think it's got to be fair for all. So, look, mate, I don't know the exact answer, but obviously the league will engage with the players and the agents, hopefully, and the RLPA, and we'll come up with a solution. I'd like to see the fans involved in trying to work through this one, and not just via a poll where, it's a yes or no question.
Yeah.
We've got some very learned fans out there, and I'd like to engage with them, and hopefully they can. It might be someone sitting at home that's got the answer. So, let's give that a crack and let's see where it takes us.
Well, from a fan's point of view, Finchie, like it makes my blood boil when you see things like happen with Kikau. Kikau shouldn't have put on that polo. You can stand there with a Van shirt on or a T-shirt on or whatever. Like, that's fine. But don't wear the colours of another club when you're going to go back and wear the colours of your current club, who's given you so much in your career, and you're a fan of that club. It's like, come on. That's the thing, too,
with cheese as well. It's like the toughest one's then facing your teammates, going back and facing blokes. That's why, you know, sending back that's the hardest thing he's got to get through. Steve, you'd think, you know, the Dolphins entering it next year, that's 17 teams. You think we're not going to stay on 17? You think it will go to 18 at some stage? So you'd like to think that this is every chance of happening again in a few years' time.
Yeah, pretty confident. We'll go to 18, Finchie, at some stage. Obviously, television deals fuel the game, the money from broadcasting. And I think we're certainly heading in a direction where an 18th team will come in. Obviously, we've got to find and develop the talent, but it certainly looks as if it's tracking that way.
Is there enough talent, do you think, for an 18th team? Like, we've seen some teams, you know, lose a couple of players, and outside of the Roosters, who did a tremendous job, you know, the quality of their performance dropped away heavily with a few injuries. From your point of view, is the talent there to get another 17th and 18th team on board?
I'd like to see 25 or 26.
I bet you would.
I might dust off the contract, Steve. I might even come back for a couple of games. That'll test your skills.
It's something we've got to look at, and whether there is enough talent. And I think we'll learn a lot more in the next two years as to whether or not the talent can spread, and hopefully there is enough talent to put a very competitive Redcliffe team together.
Mm. They've got some wise old heads up there, don't they, with O'Sullivan and Bennett. They've been around the block a few times, so I reckon they know what they're doing. And you mentioned before how patient they might have to be, and that could serve them well in the long run. But, they know what they're doing up there, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and it's not going to be easy, and no one expects them to come out and challenge for a premiership year one. It's going to take time, but they get the right players. And as I said, they're building a business. So it's not just about the squad they put together. It's about, you know, selling memberships and selling sponsorships and creating a brand and building. They're going from scratch, from ground zero. So it's going to take time. And as you say, they've got good people there that'll give it every possible chance of succeeding.
Mate, Christmas coming up. Do the negotiations for you, do they cease over Christmas? Are you going away? What happens in the life of a player agent? Do you use all the big bucks you've earned to feed up on an island somewhere?
or buy one?
We keep going 25-8, mate, as you know, not 24-7, 25-8. The Christmas Day is generally pretty quiet. No one rings on Christmas Day, which is good. But look, there's plenty going on behind the scenes. There's still plenty going on. And, with the new team coming in, there's lots of discussions to be had. And, even though we're in between seasons right now, there's definitely plenty to do. So I'll just be chipping away. Brett, you feel free to call me.
I will.
I'll be there for you. Winter, summer, spring or fall.
And let me tell you, you've been there plenty of times, Steve. Don't worry about that.
Thank you,
Brady. Steve Gillis, we'll leave it there, mate. Thanks so much for joining us and give us an insight into what really happens in rugby league.
Thanks, mate.